Lord Jesus, amen. Today we come to some lessons that I feel are very crucial, and we're getting deeper as this training goes on, deeper and deeper. This morning we come to a module that's on the person of the elders. This, I believe, is really, really our big need, brothers. Let me just read you something here. This is all three of these lessons this morning are just chapters right out of this book, The Elders' Management of the Church. I think there's nothing that's not in these three chapters. It's just these three chapters. And the first one is chapter 2 on the person of an elder. But at the beginning, let me just read you something. It says, here we have to see that the most important group of people in the universe is the elders. The most important group of people in the universe, right? What does that mean? That means without the church, God cannot accomplish what he's after. But without the elders, the church will, whatever the elders are, that's what the church will be, right? He said, if we see this, we will worship the Lord. We will prostrate ourselves in the dust and admit that in God's view and according to his plan, there is no other group of people whose importance exceeds that of the elders. He even said the apostles don't exceed the importance of the elders because the apostles don't carry out everything in the church, right? It's the elders that carry it out. Even if the apostle teaches and exhorts, if the elders don't carry it out, it will never happen. In the whole universe, the most important group of people is the elders. Why is this the case? It is because all the accomplishment of God's plan in the universe and the attainment of his desire hinge upon the elders in the church, right? So this is not to exalt elders. This is to impress us with the importance of our being, right? And we either become the way for the Lord or we become the obstacle to the Lord. So now we come to lesson 13, the person of an elder. The important thing to stress here, these three lessons, one is on the person of the elder, the next one is on the heart of an elder, and the third one is on the character. These seem, they're very related, but the emphasis on this first one is it's the person, not the method. Person is what you are. Very simply, your person is what you are. Your method is what you do. So we have to see that in the church, it's not a matter. To be an elder is not a matter of what you can do or what you do or how capable you are. The main thing is it's a matter of your person, right? Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Our emphasis in the administration of the church by the elders is on the person of the administrator, not the method of administration. You know, I think Brother Minoru told us before, right? There's a thick book called How to Meet, right? And Brother Lee said, the more you read that book, the more you will not know how to meet, right? Everybody wants to read a book like that. Oh, here's a how-to book, right? Well, he said the same thing about this book, The Elders' Management of the Church. You may feel, or you could say that about this training. Oh, good, now we're having a training on how to be elders, right? And we'll finally, we've been kind of groping, not knowing what to do. Now we're going to find out what to do. But that is not actually, hopefully, the more you hear the lessons today, the more you will be confused. You'll be less clear about what to do, but you'll be touched about what you are. Okay? A says, we all know that to do anything, first there's need of a person to do it. Next comes the method. The Chinese say that the kind of thing accomplished depends on the kind of person carrying it out. Only when the person is right will the church be managed well. Hence, the foremost question is the person. The methods are secondary. Only when there is the administrating person plus the methods will the result be beneficial. It doesn't mean the methods aren't important, but if the person's not right, the methods don't mean anything. The methods will cause problems, right? And we can see this. One example given is in a family. It's not the method. It's the person of the father that determines the family, right? That heads up the family. It's not you go read a book about how to be a father and you try to do all those things. It's your person, right? Your person is what raises your children, right? And in the same way, in the churches, it's our person that affects the saints. It's not what we do. It's not some method. It's our very person, right? B says the management of the church must begin with the person of the elders. It is dangerous to use any method to manage affairs in the church when the person is not right. In the book, Brother Lee said, method is craft or crafts, right? But there's a danger that the elders who have more experience will become crafty. You know how to do things. You know how to handle people. You know this, you know that. You become crafty, right? That's not what the Lord is after, right? So then this gets into at least four or five areas of what it means when we say our person. What's it mean when we say our person has to be right, right? Well, and some of these will be covered in more detail in the next lessons. But the first one is an elder needs to have a broad heart. An elder needs to have a broad heart. Amen. This is like Solomon who prayed for wisdom. God not only gave him wisdom, but he also gave him a heart that was as big as the sand on the sea. Not just the sea, but bigger. The sand surrounds the sea. So his heart was large. What's it mean to have a large heart? Right? What's it mean to have a large heart? Well, I think we kind of know what it means to have a narrow heart, right? Narrow heart means you can only focus on things pertaining to you. You don't have room for the saints. If you're easily offended, that's because your heart is narrow, right? An elder has to have a broad enough heart that the saints can come and tell you all the things you've done wrong. And you're not bothered. You're not offended, right? This is like Moses, right? The people rebelled many times and he didn't react. He went to the Lord, right? He fell on his face and even prayed for the people, right? This is to be a broad person and with an enlarged heart. This says this is the number one thing, the first thing. The biggest need for one who manages the church is to have a broad heart. A broad heart is not a matter of method, but a matter of person. You know, I was thinking sometimes we have the term, we say somebody is a small person. That means their capacity to open their heart is small, right? They're concerned with petty things. Little things bother them. If little things bother you, that means your heart's not broad, right? You have a small heart. If an elder has a narrow heart, trouble will immediately appear. All those who have a narrow heart cannot be elders. If our heart, okay, but what if you say, but that's the way my heart is from birth. Well, and Brother Lee said, then you go home and you pray. Just like Solomon, you go home and pray, Lord, enlarge my heart. I don't have this kind of heart. I don't think many or any of us do by birth, right? But we can go to the Lord, right? In all these points this morning, I think if you feel you're okay on any of these points, you're not hearing the point. Every one of these points this morning should make you feel like, in a sense, I'm not qualified, I should give up, but you can't give up, right? It's like the rich man who wanted to go away sorrowing. That was not the Lord's intention, right? He couldn't sell all, but the Lord wanted him to say, Lord, help me, do it in me, right? We can't ignore these things, but we can't do them by trying harder, right? Try to have a broad heart. That's not the point, right? We need to go to the Lord. Amen. Even in the book, it talks about you may try to do something in a broad way. You try to do something, you know, you realize your heart's narrow, so now you're going to change your method to try a broader method that includes the saints more or something. That's not the point. The point is your person. Your person has to be changed, right? Amen. Your person has to be enlarged. Then the second point here, as an example, is an elder needs to be a Bible-reading person. Amen. And a praying person. Amen. Not someone who reads the Bible and prays, but a Bible-reading person. Amen. A praying person. Otherwise, you may try to do this as a method, right? The church decides to have a Bible-reading schedule. And so when there's a schedule, then now, because you're the elder, you need to read the Bible, No. If you're only reading the Bible because it's something the church is doing or because you're an elder, you're not a Bible reading person. And if you only pray in that way, you're not a praying person. You have to be a person of Bible reading, a person of prayer, right? Should not be a method, it should be their person. If you read the Bible and pray only because you're an elder, such reading and praying is the method of being an elder. It will not work. If you want to help others to read the Bible and pray, you yourself must first be a reading person and a praying person. You have to be such a person with or without being an elder. I was most touched by this next one, brothers. It says, an elder has to learn to be faithful, a faithful and honest person. In the next message, it talks about the heart, and one aspect of the heart is to have an honest heart. And it's easy in the church life, we're dealing with people all the time, right? And to avoid problems, many times the easiest thing is not to be honest. Because you know if you'll be honest, it might cause trouble. So suppose a brother comes to you and says, brother, could you help me? Could you comment on my spiritual condition? Could you how am I really in the coordination with the brothers or something like that? Right? Well, Brother Lee gave an example where some brother came one time like that, and Brother Lee was there with another brother, and the brother said something, commended the brother. And then as soon as the brother left, he turned to Brother Lee and said, that brother is impossible. And Brother Lee looked at him, shocked. He said, brother, you're not an elder. You're a Judas. You're deceiving the brother. And the brother said, well, Brother Lee, you don't understand. If I told him the truth, he has such a temper, he'll be angry. He might even hit me. Brother Lee said, even if he might hit you, you have to be honest. Or at the very least, don't say anything. Either don't say anything or say something honest. If you don't feel he can take it or you don't have the leading from the Lord to say it, then don't say it. But don't say something false, right? But is this easy to practice, brothers? It's not easy. It's not easy. We can never say a word before the brothers that we do not mean. When it's difficult for us to say something, we can remain silent, but we must never say something that we do not mean. Brother Lee said that later, many times he did this. A brother would ask him something and he would just silent. He said sometimes silence speaks more. He just silent. And he said even years later, the brother would come to him and say, Brother Lee, do you remember that time I asked you and you didn't say anything? I realize now you realized I couldn't take it. You realized if you'd said my real condition, I couldn't take it at that time. Thank you, Brother Lee. Right? So we have to learn to be faithful and honest person, right? Otherwise, it will catch up with you, right? You cannot escape. If you say something behind someone's back, eventually it will come around to them, right? Eventually, they will hear what you really said, right? And eventually, all the saints' confidence in you will be gone, right? Because they know you're two-faced. Right? You don't mean what you say, right? So we cannot have, this is a matter of our person, right? This is our person. Our person is damaged, warped, corrupted, right? Wicked, even it says in here, wicked, you know? So we have to go to the Lord. Lord, deal with my person. Amen. And then the next point says, the elders should love the brothers and sisters and should care for them. This love and care should be something in their person, not a mere method, not just something you do, but it's not genuine from your heart. It needs to be genuine, right? It says in C, when I see a brother is sick, spontaneously I'm concerned for him. When I see a brother has lost his job, spontaneously I care for him. Or when another one has some lack, I feel the same lack. This proves that my love and care has to do with my person. Right? This is, if it's your person, it's spontaneous. And we should never Sometimes the saints may come to you with something, some need, and you say, "Oh yes, brother, I realize you're out of a job. It's very difficult. I'll pray for you." And then he goes away, and you never pray for him, right? Or you never think about it after that. You don't do anything to try to help find him a job, right? Then was that genuine? That wasn't genuine, you know? And if you do that enough times, the saints will stop coming to you, right? Because they know it's just words, right? I'll pray for you. Or, I'm so sorry. I will fellowship with the brothers. And then you don't fellowship with the brothers, right? Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord, our person, Lord. I want to just read a quote from this book. Brother Lee says it much better. He said, "I have to admit that this lesson is difficult to learn. We are all sons of Adam, and it's difficult for our hearts to be broad. We all have a wicked nature. For us to be human is easy, but for us to deal with others honestly is very difficult. Nevertheless, brothers, since we have received the Lord's mercy to be appointed as elders among his people, we should be honest persons." And this is the part. "We are not here to learn some methods of being elders. Rather, we are here to be enlightened, to submit to the Lord's hand, and to receive his dealings." Amen. It's not a question of picking up some method, but a matter of receiving his dealings. Amen. To be an elder is a matter of the person. As soon as we become involved with methods, we fall into pretense. Then point six says, "The elder's politeness, courtesy, humility, diligence, and daily living have to be genuine, not a method. What is needed of an elder is the person and not a method." He gives some more examples here, right? Of the difference between, okay, when we see what we are, there's two reactions. Well, there can be three reactions maybe. First reaction is to ignore it. "No, I don't want to look at that. I don't want to face the fact that I'm that way. So I just ignore it," right? The second is, I'm going to do something about it, right? I'm going to adjust my behavior. So he said, for example, maybe there's someone you need to be proper with the brothers and sisters. Furthermore, even your anger has to be genuine. It is true that elders should restrict his temper, but there should not be any false restriction. So what's he mean by false restriction? He says, perhaps you may ask me what is a false restriction of temper and what's a genuine restriction. So whether for temper or any of these things, broadness of heart, what's a false one and what's a genuine one? He said, I can perhaps describe to you a little. For example, I may be a quick-tempered person, but I've received mercy from the Lord to be an elder in the church. When problems arise among the brothers and sisters, it's true that I can easily lose my temper, but I know that elders are not supposed to lose their temper. If they do, they will ruin things. For this reason, I submit myself to the hand of the Lord and receive the Lord's discipline to deal with my temper. Not only do I deal with it before the brothers and sisters, but I deal with it at home before the Lord. And this is the part that would touch me. I would smite my chest and say to the Lord, Lord, you know how bad my temper is. I hate myself. Unless you are merciful to me, the church will be ruined under my hands. This kind of restriction of the temper is genuine. This is what it means, genuine, is you genuinely hate what you see you are, right? Whether it's temper, whether it's playing politics, whatever it is, you hate it. And you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, unless you have mercy, I will ruin the church by what I am, right? But he said the other way is not like this. When the brothers are involved in troubles and bring complaints to them, they realize they can't lose their temper. If they do, everything will be lost. So they suffer patiently while the brothers are there, putting on a smiling face. But when they get home, they grumble and complain, right, to their wife. He said, I'm not here to be an elder for their money. What right do they have to bother me this way? So that kind of restriction of the temper was false, right? It was just in front of the brothers, right? But no conviction within. No, hating it within, right? Do not think I'm imagining all these things. These are actual cases. Sometimes after an elder complained this way at home, the troubled brother came right afterward to visit his home. The elder would then invite him in politely into the living room and would give him a smiling face again, as if all his temper had just disappeared. 45 minutes later, after the brothers left, the wife may come and ask about the conversation, and he would fill his mouth with complaints again, saying, I don't live by their wallets. Why should they bother me like this? It's bad enough for them to bother me in the elders' room. Now they're even giving me trouble in my home. This is the false restriction of temper. We can never do this. If you are such an elder, the church will surely be corrupted from the inside out. The elders of the church must be genuine and honest. If I'm to deal with my temper, I have to deal with it from the inside out. So all these points today, brothers, we have to deal with them from the inside out. I must deal with it before God and before the brothers. It should not be a matter of method for me. It should be a lesson for me as a person, right? So I've lost track of my time here, David. How much? Is it time up? Okay. So I'll just read the last point. 7. The first problem an elder has to deal with is his person. You cannot be satisfied just by changing the method. Of course, we do not mean that the methods need not be changed. What we mean is that it is not enough to change the method. Rather, the person has to change, and that means what we are has to change.
This book that our brother mentioned is called The Elders' Management of the Church. And it is a book that I highly recommend that we just buy this book or go online to read it. And I think it's just chapter by chapter, it's just full of light. And the more we read, the more we feel that we are not qualified. But then, on the other hand, the more we read, the more we feel, Lord, I need you. Amen. I need you to make me the right person. So today, as we are touching on this point about being the right person, this point is quite crucial. Roman numeral 2, the lesson the elders have to learn is absolutely not methods, ways, skills, or tactfulness. The lesson for the elder is brokenness before God. If you read through this portion, a word stands out continuously. Methods. Not methods. Sorry, brothers. Okay. Are we okay? The word is method. A lot of kept saying it's not the method. It's not the method. What is it then? It is the brokenness. As I was preparing this, the Lord just gave me the burden that, Lord, I need to be a broken person. Amen. Even after serving the churches for so many years, I dare not to say that I'm a broken person. Maybe I'm in the process of getting broken. But any time that I feel that I have accomplished something, or I can do something, or I'm capable of doing something, that is a sign that I am not a broken person. Amen. Only one kind of person can manage a church. A broken person. Amen. I hope this will drill into all of us. Amen. Only one kind of person can manage a church. Amen. A broken person. Amen. All the elders have to learn a lesson. The lesson of brokenness. How I thank the Lord that our brother is teaching us God's economy. Our brother is not teaching us a method. You may not know this, but you can get an MBA degree in church management. The best university is called Villanova. You know, Villanova University. They have the best program. But I'm not recommending that. The best program is here. As long as we stay in the church life, we will learn how to be broken. We will learn how to manage the church. The way to manage the church is to be a broken person. Amen. Let me read this on page 7 for you, with you. How about let's turn to page 7. The lesson of the elders. The first paragraph. Maybe we can read the first 4 lines together. Huh? The lesson. Ways, skill, or tactfulness. The lessons for the elders. A person who reasons well may not be competent at managing the church. Neither is a person who has resources for everything. Only one kind of person can manage a church, a broken person. That's it. Amen. Only one kind of person can manage a church. And even as I was reading this, the Lord just touched me that the Lord needs only one kind of person. And this kind of person is a broken person. Why is brokenness so important? Why is brokenness so important? Because if there's no brokenness, there's no coordination. When we come together to coordinate with one another, we all have our own reasoning. If we have reasoning, that's not brokenness. If we have argument, that's not brokenness. If we try to negotiate or debate, that's not brokenness. Even if you try to stay passive and humble, that does not necessarily mean that we are broken. A broken person is an open person. We're open to the Lord and we're open to the brothers. When we're open to the Lord and open to the brothers, the Lord will come in. So if we are not open, that means we are not broken. How I thank the Lord that Brother Watchman Nee has a book called The Breaking of the Outer Man is for the Release of the Spirit, right? It's so that your spirit will be released. So how much we need to have our outer man be broken so the spirit can come forth. How much we need the alabaster flask to be broken so the ointment can come forth. So how I thank the Lord that the key here is not the method. The key is not how smart you are. Craftiness would not work in the church life. Tactfulness would not work in the church life. Even our skill, our capability would not work in the church life. The method would not work in the church life. Brokenness will work in the church life. Because brokenness is that we are allowing God to come in, to take over us, that He can make home in our hearts. When He makes home in our hearts, then we are not imprisoning Him anymore. We are allowing the Lord to come in to fill with our mind, emotion, will. Then the Lord will have a way. Then our coordination will be smooth. I still remember the brothers that wanted to go to Russia to serve. One of the requirements is that you have to be able to coordinate with one another. What does coordination mean? Coordination means brokenness. If we are not broken, how can we coordinate? You have your way, I have my way. You debate and I debate. And eventually, we just leave unhappy. Actually, there is a situation like that. When the brothers were serving in Russia, I know that one brother was sent back to this country because he had a problem in coordination. And so when I heard about that, I just said, Lord, transformation is my need. To be broken more indeed. Even this morning when I was driving, I was thinking of this hymn. Transformation is my need, to be broken all indeed. Amen. That the clay will change in form. Amen. Oh Lord, let's read Roman numeral one together, two together, huh? Let's read it again. The lesson of is absolutely not way, skills, or tactfulness. The lesson for the elder is brokenness before God. A, only together, only one kind of person. Amen. And then B, in any local church, amen. Only a broken person can manage and build. So it's not methods. It's not tactfulness. It's not wisdom. It's not cleverness. It's not ways and it's not skills. It's being broken. When we are broken, we're willing to coordinate with one another. And when we are willing to coordinate with one another, the Lord will come through. And when the Lord comes through, then there is the building up. Over a long period of time, time will be the test. Your wisdom, your capability, your shrewdness, your cleverness will not stand the test of time. We may get by in 1 year. We may get by in 2 years. We may get by in 3 years, but we'll be exposed after 4 years. And it's not something that we can hide. Eventually, our naturalness, our natural ability, our natural strength, our natural preference will be exposed. Oh, Lord. So if a broken person is to lead and manage the church, he will withstand the test of time. As time goes on, the church he manages will have more and more measure of reality. Isn't that what we desire? That the church will have the reality. Amen. The reality of Christ living in us. Amen. The reality of Christ as the King. Amen. The reality of the priesthood. Amen. The reality that He is the ruler. Amen. And we are the ones willing to submit to Him. Amen. That the church can be built. Amen. And C is so good that it talks about Moses. And I was just thinking that for the first 40 years, when Moses was in the Pharaoh's palace, how much knowledge he has accumulated, right? How good. He was one of the best strategists too, right? He's highly educated. He knew what's going on. He knew the world economy. He knows everything. But yet, he was so shrewd. He was so capable. But what did he do? After 40 years of training, he made a big mistake, right? He killed someone. He thought he was working for God. He thought he was fighting for his own people. But yet, it's all his natural strength. It's all his natural ability. So, what did God do? God has to put him away for 40 years. And during that 40 years time, he did not learn any management method. I don't think it's that difficult to take care of the sheep. He did not learn any management method. He was just there fellowshipping with God, dealing with God, opening himself to God, and let God come in. And so I just appreciate this period of time that Moses had to go through, that the Lord can eventually use him. Amen. Only a broken person can be used by God. Amen. Oh Lord, make me a broken person. Amen. That I can be useful in your hand. Amen. That I can be useful to serve the saints. Amen. That I can be useful to build up the church. Amen. And then in the last 30 years, what happened to him? Actually, a lot of things happened. When he was leading the children of Israel, the children of Israel were just a test to him. They complain, they murmur, they ask this, they ask that. They make mistakes. And did you notice that most of the time, Moses would not react, but Moses would just come to God. Moses would just cry to God. Moses said, we just say, Jehovah God, what am I supposed to do? They are thirsty. What am I supposed to do? The water is bitter. What am I supposed to do? So Moses seems like that he was not knowledgeable at all. Especially if you are reading Exodus, you'll find out that it seems like Moses was just not knowledgeable, did not have any way, did not have any method, didn't know how to deal with the people of Israel. But yet he just opened himself to God. He has been dealt with by God. So to that point that he prayed, he went to God, he submitted himself to God, right? And many times he fell down before God. So here, we saw no methods, but just a person, broken. That's why God can use him so much. So even I was thinking of the story of Jacob. Jacob was such a natural person, filled with natural strength. But yet one night, in the middle of the night, he was wrestling, right, with God. And what happened? The hollow of his thigh was touched. And when God touched him, he became a broken person. And after he has become a broken person, the Lord continued to do the transformation work, and eventually he became a mature person. And isn't that wonderful? So we need to be broken. Amen. And, you know, in Brother Lee's life study in Genesis, he said that related to the life experience of Jacob, to be broken is vital and crucial. We need to be broken. This is vital and crucial for our growth in life, for our serving the church life. Amen. Maybe we can read C together, huh? When God... the lesson of brokenness. During those 40 years, how to manage God's people?
He learned only one lesson, the lesson of brokenness.
Amen. Even when Moses' sister, let me read this to you. Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than anyone else who was on the face of the earth. And suddenly, Jehovah spoke to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam. You three come to the tent of meeting. So the three of them came out. Amen. In other words, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses, because Moses married a Cushite woman, right? And so in one sense, they were right. But on the other hand, of course, that was God's sovereign arrangement. And yet they said, Jehovah indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us? And Jehovah heard it. But Moses did not say anything. Now the man Moses was very meek. So this is really something that is so touching. Moses was very meek. Actually, here it's obvious that Moses, God has chosen Moses to be the leader. God has chosen Moses to take the Israel out of Egypt, right? And Aaron and Miriam were supposed to be his helper. But here, they rebelled. They spoke something that they should not have spoken. Amen. Oh, Lord. Amen. Okay, let's go back to C3. Let God solve the problem.
Amen.
He only submitted himself to God.
Amen.
And let God solve the problem.
Amen.
Four, the more.
The more he fell down before God. If there were any methods,
He let God work them out.
If there were any words to be said, He let God speak to the people.
He was truly a broken man. Can we do that? If there were any method, He let God work them out. If there were any words to be said, He let God speak to the people. He was truly a broken man. Even sometimes in our coordination, we have our view, and another brother has his view. And after this exchange of view, opinion a few times, do we want to have the final say? Or do we just let God work it out?
Amen.
Oh, Lord. As long as it's not sinful, as long as it's not divisive, why not just go along? Sometimes why do we need to insist that our way is the best way? Or our viewpoint is the best viewpoint, right? Oh, if there were any methods, He let God work them out.
Amen.
If there were any words to be said, He let God speak to the people.
Amen.
We need to learn to trust that God will speak to our brothers.
Amen.
Even in our coordination.
Amen.
We are not the authority.
Amen.
We don't insist on anything. Learn to be broken.
Amen.
I'm still learning that lesson. Sometimes the Lord put me together with some brothers that are of my age. Maybe it's easier for me to learn to be broken. But when the Lord put me to serve together with some brothers that are 20 years younger, am I willing to be broken? Or maybe the Lord even put me together with some brothers that are 40 years younger. Actually, I got rebuked by a 25-year-old brother one time. And the Lord just told me, don't say anything. Don't react. Oh, Lord.
Amen.
I still have not learned the lesson of brokenness yet.
Amen.
That's why the Lord put me together with so many wonderful brothers. Oh, Lord.
Amen.
If there were any word to be said, He let God speak to people.
Amen.
He was truly a broken man. Five, let's read that together. This is tremendous. Only
when the church is in the hands of such a person, can it be a vessel that truly expresses Christ.
Only when the church is in the hands of such a person, can it have a genuine building up. The more the elders are broken, the more the church will be built up. Amen. The more the elders are broken, the more the church will be built up. When all the elders are willing to be broken, what a harmonious, sweet, wonderful picture.
Amen.
Behold how sweet, how pleasant, and how sweet for the brothers to dwell together in oneness.
Amen.
Oh Lord, may this happen to all of us.
Amen.
May we all learn the lesson to be broken.
Amen.
No brokenness, no coordination.
Amen.
No brokenness, no building up. What the Lord desires is a sweet coordination among us.
Amen.
What the Lord desires is the building up of His church.
Amen.
Not by good methods and not by good arrangements, but by the persons that are broken.
Amen.
May we all be such people.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe we can pray two by two, and then there are some announcements.